We call the planning and zoning meeting to order at 6:30 PM.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to have David be our temporary chairman for this evening.
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. All right. I should say all in favor say aye for our two that are on the phone.
Aye.
You need to
identify. We have Craig and Ken on the phone. I believe they're both agreed.
Ken didn't vote.
Sorry?
Ken didn't vote.
Ken?
I heard Craig, but I didn't hear Ken.
Ken?
Well, we were voting to appoint.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't hear Ken.
I didn't hear. Is he still on the phone?
He's not muted.
Can we ask him what his vote is on appointment of you as the
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Can you please make a to please vote on the motion to appoint the chairman?
He's hanging up.
In that case, should we?
We have a quorum.
We have a quorum. So we can move forward without that. I believe that was one of the discussion points around online calling was being able to move forward.
Okay, so he didn't vote? Okay.
All right, so moving forward, I'm going to make a motion that we amend and then adopt the agenda. The amend item is to add under new business 6.2 a discussion around changing the November meeting date. And so can I get a motion and a second on amending and adopting the agenda?
Yes, I make a motion we adopt the agenda.
Second.
And all in favor say aye. Please identify yourself, Craig and Ken. Aye.
Aye. Aye, Craig.
All right, now we've got it all. Great, thank you. So, first item on the agenda is adoption of the minutes, item 3.1 from the September 16th meeting. Give everybody a few moments to go through that.
Meeting minutes from
September 16th, 2020.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Craig, aye.
Craig and Ken agreed to. Thank you. Unanimous there. So moving on to item number 4, we have public comment. Do we have anyone online for comment? And nobody in here, so we can move past that. To old business. Old business item 5.1 is continued discussion of the proposed text amendment for control of yard and setbacks. And Craig, I believe you have the lead on that.
Well, my only suggestion is I think it's something we ought to resolve today. When I presented, I think I sent an email off, I presented our recommendation for a negative vote to the Senate Council. They have to send us to public hearing. We will probably support that. But I told the Senate Council that we were going to talk about and see how the Planning and Zoning Commission felt about a temporary structure that could be allowed in the rear setback. I think that's the consensus that we had last time to have this discussion.
That's what I recall as we.
Can I comment?
Yes.
Okay. I went through the town home. We have a lot of power lines in back offset. We also have some stormwater receptacles in we can make a general comment that all the tenants got to be specific to certain areas.
Well,
I think it's a general statement that we could. The way that I was thinking that it would be acceptable is to do a temporary in the rear setback with the, I think we discussed the permit. You got to get a permit, correct?
Permitted for a pool, yes.
Yeah, for a pool, you know. I think that was the item that was...
Not for a swing set.
But not for a swing set or a trampoline.
Right.
Those are not it, permittable items.
Yeah, the items that had to have a permit, such as a pool, if they didn't interfere with utilities or drainage or anything like that, then I think that would be where my mind was in this process.
Can we get 1536-0101?
So would we allow those items, the trampoline and the swing set?
Well, let's look at what the code currently says.
Okay.
I think they're carved out because they don't require a permit. We'll get the provision up in a second. We're trying to get something up on the screen.
15136-0101. We're not hearing what John or anybody is saying.
I'm sorry. We're pulling up one of the codes on the screen so that we can
right at the top there.
Read what the code says.
Okay.
Mr. Eldridge is stepping up to the podium.
Stepping up to the microphone. I just think that you need to look at 1536-0101, which is up on the screen. I think that will guide this discussion. If you're talking about allowing things in that do not require a building permit, any building permit, then under this current provision, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, they would be allowed, like a swing set doesn't require a permit. So that should guide your discussion rather than carve out the ability to put a swing set, for example, into the rear setback. This code already addresses that.
So the existing code already allows for a swing set or a trampoline in the rear setback?
Because they're not structures requiring a permit.
That's the way you read it.
That's okay.
But, my thoughts were items that would require a permit, such as a pool, was, that's kind of where I want to go with it. But if it's in a situation where the pool, even in temporary situation, if it was hindering drainage or complicating access utilities, then it wouldn't be permitted. It wouldn't be something we could allow.
I'm confused because it's my understanding you're talking about pools.
Yes.
My understanding pools require a permit.
Correct.
Therefore, if you want to allow a pool, which is a permitted structure or a structure requiring a permit, if you want to allow that in the setback, then you've got to change that provision to include it. Like we did recently for the disability grants. We said, hey, those are okay. So if you're talking about a pool and a pool requires a permit, you want it to go into the rear setback to one degree or another, then you're going to add that to the list.
True. And part of the discussion was for a temporary process, somebody wanted to come up and say, I want to put a pool up for the summer.
I still think that pool requires a permit.
It still requires a permit.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
This is Craig. Yeah, my general understanding from our discussion last month is that we all recognize that, based upon what Kathleen pointed out, is that gymnastics and trampolines don't require permits, so they can be allowed to set back. But that a temporary pool does require a permit, according to John, And the question is that we are we going to allow things like temporary pools within the setback? My general feeling is as long as it doesn't interfere with the sort of things that we talked about, such as drainage, and I also think we have to have a provision that it can be structurally removed within 5 minutes, because that's the emergency issue right there. Then my own personal opinion is that we should allow it given those conditions, and whatever it would take to adjust that that requirement within the ordinance would be my recommendation.
Do pools include hot tubs? John?
Yes. Or do hot tubs need permits?
I've thought about this a lot since last week or last month, and I know that we were talking about the possibility of it. I'm really struggling with it now. I mean, those setbacks are there for a reason, and the more we start allowing things to encroach into them and the more rules we start changing, then we get to the point where what's the point in having a setback? So my opinion for this evening, based on the thought I've given it, is that we not allow the pools, even the temporary pools, in those areas.
And again, the goal, the policy in the code for setbacks is first responders, light and air, stormwater runoff. Those are the articulated policy bases for setbacks,
which we've identified we have throughout the town and are used for those purposes. Right, we have power lines, we have storm drains.
The other issue, unpermitted items. Do you want a trampoline under a power line that intersects?
I don't think we do, but that's not a permitted item, so what's our control over it?
I'd like to meet that trampoline.
Yeah.
No, it's not destroying that pond. If the wire breaks and there's kids in the trampoline, you know, that's what I'm thinking. It's one all problem.
I think that's a separate issue, though, Ken, from what we're talking about. We're talking about things requiring a permit.
Yeah.
And we're specifically talking about pools going into the setback.
Yeah. And I agree, Ken. I do understand what you're saying with that, but let's keep focused on permitted items in the setback. Did I miss a comment?
No, I was conferring with the building inspector.
Okay.
I'd like to say that I agree with you, David. I think that the code is written for a reason. I think it's written very well. And I think whenever we change the text of the code, I think we should take it really seriously. And the fact that pools require a building permit, the only thing we can do is add them to the exceptions. And I just don't think a pool of any size that requires a permit should be included as an exception.
The request came from allowing temporary pools in setbacks. And what, you know, the discussion was for temporary pools in the setbacks, not for permanent use. So if we are going to continue that discussion for temporary pools for a X time, then I think that is something that is where my mind was and what I was thinking that we could have this discussion about, not for more of a permanent solution.
Right. And I'm thinking of logistics as well. Let's just say we did allow temporary and we said it was for 60 days. Mm-hmm. Who's to manage that and say whether something's within 60 days and to keep track of them and identify them? That's just another task for building inspections that they don't need to be trying to keep up on.
I just want to remind the commission that this discussion grew out of an application put forward by a property owner to allow a temporary pool in the rear setback, and that on that particular issue, this commission recommended to council to deny that text amendment.
Yes.
So the whole idea about temporary pools, you've already taken a position on. Granted, you can change that position, but it's very recently held. And I think what grew out of that was an impetus to look at the encroachment into rear setback issues in general and see if you wanted to tweak, for whatever reason and to what degree, this provision that's up on the screen.
I recall that, and I recall that we said we would discuss it as an idea. You know, we did deny the text amendment as it was submitted, and we thought we would discuss it, or said we would discuss it at this meeting. And in thought, which, you know, is always a good thing, I don't think it's a good idea. And I know I was open to discussion of it, and we are discussing it, but...
Yeah, we discussed heavily about... Go ahead, Craig.
If I remember from our last month's meeting, the applicant felt that she was in agreement with us denying the overall recommendation for any setback, but thought that the rear setback would be appropriate. The other thing which I think is important is I'm guessing that there's probably a lot of pools already in the rear setback. So we got to be careful because, you know, once we talk about this, I believe that we then have to enforce what is existing there, and which means that somebody would have to go around with people that have pools at the back. A lot of those are going to be in the new setback, and then we're going to have to enforce that they don't have that. So my general feeling is, but I'm not feeling very strong about this. I'll simply go with the planning commission on this, is that if something can be destructively removed from the rear setback in 5 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that, then I personally don't have a real problem with it. But I'll certainly go with the commission. You know,
I understand, you know, where you were in the discussion, David. Definitely, the discussion today is surrounding just the rear setbacks, and I've thought about it too. But I honestly think, in part of this was brought up due to COVID situations and limited accessibility for kids. I think that it's something that in a rear setback, for on a temporary situation for a period of time, this is something we need to consider.
Well, we have two opposing thoughts here.
it's not, you know, it's for temporary, and, you know, as our council has already stated, we probably already have quite a few.
Well, and we may, and then we have to get into discussion around what is temporary and how it's managed, and where does that guidance, I mean, who manages that?
Do we have Ken's view on this topic, informing a consensus? Do we have Ken's view?
Yeah, I kind of lean for that changing this may be more problematic than we think.
It's obviously a difficult decision, and obviously it affects some people in their summertime enjoyment of their homes. I'm just concerned about the problems that it could have, and then how you manage it, how you track it, whether somebody's in compliance or not in compliance, and I don't see a good, clean way of doing that, and I'm also afraid about changing what's a very simple and clean code, and when I look at what it's in there about ground level and things like that, the ground level walkway, the ground level pool apron. Those don't create an issue in the rear setback for the purpose of the setback. With that said, rather than beat around the bush. I'm just going to go ahead and make a motion that we leave this as it is and not allow those changes, and then we'll put it to the vote of the commission and see how we move forward.
I'll second.
Ken and Craig, I guess we'll all in favor say aye.
You have to have a roll call vote when you're doing remote.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't think of that earlier, but that is the case.
All right, well then, do I roll call in here first?
Go ahead.
All right, Kathleen?
Aye.
Tony? Aye.
Aye.
All right, for myself, it's aye, of course. Craig?
I'll say no, but I know that that's true this one.
And
Kay. Sorry, what was his vote? No.
Aye.
So that's a 4-1 pass. Thank you for the...
Okay, what this means, however, from what I understand, is that this will then trigger John's enforcement of the existing, because he was abating until we made the decision. So now we made the decision, so that means that someone will then respond.
I believe that to be correct.
I think that stay was with reference to the applicant that whose application is in front of council in November.
I'm not sure if John is there, but John mentioned that as long as we're talking that he was going to come out this issue, that he was going to stay for months.
Yes, sir, Craig. As soon as council votes on this technical application in November, that will dictate when I continue enforcement.
Right, and particularly since of the specifics of the team tonight.
Okay. All right, moving on to item 5.2, update on utility conversion. Ken, I'm not sure if you're able to make an update or if that's something we need to table.
I can make a quick update.
Okay.
I talked to the gentleman from Duke. He said he would prefer us to do this face-to-face. And so we postponed this meeting till January. I told him this was not a time-sensitive, and we could do that. So that's where we're at.
All right. So we'll keep that open then until after the January meeting. All right. 5.3.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I don't think we need any motion or action on that. So moving on to 5.3 was prohibited uses, and I know there's got to be a lot of discussion around that. I think, Craig, you preferred that we tabled it until we were all together.
I could suggest that we can table it. We tabled it for so many months. I was hoping that we might talk about it tonight, but it's probably a little bit easier if we're all there.
Yeah. I know I added quite a few to the spreadsheet that we're working on, and I'll encourage everyone to review that and add their comments so that next month we can have a good discussion on that. All right, I think that wraps up old business. Is there any other comments on old business? All right, move forward to new business, and item 6.1 is an oath of office for our new alternate member, Jim Dugan. Jim, if we can have you step up and... Welcome aboard.
Oh, okay. As long as you know it.
I'm going to give you a copy. Okay.
And
the Constitution and laws of the state of North Carolina.
And the Constitution and laws of the state of North Carolina.
Not inconsistent therewith.
Not inconsistent therewith.
and that I will faithfully discharge my duties as an alternate member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties as an alternate member of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
For the town of Curie Beach, so help me God.
For the town of Curie Beach, so help me God.
Congratulations, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back, I believe, is more the case, isn't it?
Well, not to this particular board.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to the new item that we added, new business item 6.2, the meeting date for the November meeting. The scheduled November 4th meeting is a conflict, and I'm just going to make a motion that we move that to November 5th at 6:30 p.m. following the HPC meeting that we've already discussed this evening. Is there a second to that?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Craig? Ken?
Craig.
Okay. That was Craig, right?
So aye.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. All right. Is there any other new business from anyone this evening? All right. With that, thank you all very much. That brings us to the end of the agenda, and the meeting is now adjourned.
I just got here.